And they're not looking to pay that off for well over a decade. Whereas if they go to other countries simply next door, Ireland or Australia, they can immediately double their wage.
The British government seems nowhere near loosening its purse strings. But the consensus is that the longer these strikes grind on, the wider the damage. Saipur is up, London.
Iranian people are preparing for the Friday's elections, in which they will vote for their representatives in parliament and assembly of experts. Thousands of candidates, including women and the young generation, are vying for the seats.
Nearly 15,000 candidates are running for the election. Of these candidates, 12% are women and 63% belong to the young generation, which includes young activists aged between 30 and 50 years old.
Islami also mentioned different political groups and parties that are participating in the upcoming elections.
All of the country's political spectrums, including principalists, reformists, and independents, are among the candidates. A close contest is underway among them in the country's different zones and cities. According to the law, the parties can support a list of candidates as well as introducing their intended candidates.
In the meantime, 200 local channels have been launched for the candidates' election campaign.
The IRIB has launched 200 local channels and the candidates can use them for their campaigns as well as the radio and social media.
Nearly 40 elections have been held in Iran since the 1979 Islamic Revolution, which is a symbol of people's power and presence in the country's sensitive occasions. Iranians across the country will participate in the elections as they see choosing their representatives, both in the parliament and assembly of experts, as a duty to maintain the basis of religious democracy in their country. Farzana Ashuryun, Tehran.
Leaders meeting with thousands of people from East Azerbaijan province. Thousands of people from East Azerbaijan province had a meeting with the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, on Sunday, 18th of February. The meeting took place at the Imam Khomeini Hosseiniyah in Tehran on the occasion of the 46th anniversary of the uprising of the people of Tabriz on 19th of February 1978, which was a key step in the victory of the Islamic Revolution the following year in 1979. On that day, in February of 1978, the courageous people of Tabriz and other towns of East Azerbaijan province took to the streets to mark the 40th day after the uprising of the people of Qom, and thus started a chain of demonstrations and protests which shook the foundations of the Pahlavi regime to its very core, and eventually led to its collapse. In this program, we discuss the leaders' remarks and points of view expressed at this meeting. Please stay with us. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, had a meeting with a large number of people from East Azerbaijan province on Sunday, 18th of February, congratulating everyone present on the festivities of Sha'baniyah, the birth anniversary of Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, the birth anniversary of Imam Sajjad, peace be upon him, and the birth anniversary of Hazrat Abul Fazl al-Abbas, peace be upon him, and Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance, The leader thanked the people of Iran for their enthusiastic presence in the 11th of February national rallies and marches. The leader said, "Indeed, people worked hard and displayed their enthusiasm in all parts of the country, in all the provinces and cities, and even in villages and remote areas. There are some who hoped to see the Iranian nation disheartened, and they were taken by surprise. There are others who wish the Iranian nation gradually forgets the 11th of February rallies and celebrations, but they too were taken by surprise. This year, the Iranian people truly showed their proud revolutionary spirit to the world on 11th of February, and I am sincerely grateful to the nation." The leader added, "Of course, in addition to expressing my gratitude to our dear people, I would also like to sincerely thank those who were able to ensure the security of these nationwide rallies and marches with God's help. Their work should also be greatly appreciated." Commenting further, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "What we need to do is to learn from the past for our present and future. 11th of February 1979 marks the birth of the Islamic Revolution. It was an exceptional, tumultuous birthday. With the passage of time, the Islamic Revolution has grown and become more powerful and well-established. It has become more powerful and its viewpoint has become more penetrating. The revolution is now 45 years old. During these 45 years, it has faced myriad experiences, events, wars, confrontations with unbelievers, confrontations with hypocrites, and confrontations with political enemies, and all kinds of seditions and conspiracies. The revolution has faced all of these things. But how is the revolution defined? It is defined as that which is in your heart. The revolution is you, the people, and the ruling system's ability to navigate and overcome these challenges." Elsewhere in his remarks, the leader said, "There are two general duties for the entire nation, and especially for young people. But what are these two duties? One is the responsibility of looking at oneself, and the other is the responsibility of looking at the enemy. These are two duties, and let me explain what I mean by the duty of looking at oneself. Looking at oneself means assessing and evaluating ourselves. We need to assess who we are and how we are. We should not forget ourselves. The Almighty has stated in the Holy Quran, in Ayah 19 of Surah Hash, 'And be not like those who forget Allah, so He made them forget themselves.' They forgot God and He punished them. What was their punishment? It was that they forgot themselves. If we are unable to evaluate and assess ourselves correctly, or if we are incapable of doing so, this can lead to disastrous consequences. We become like a patient who is suffering from a terrible disease that eventually results in his or her death, but he or she is not even aware of it. Well, the fate of this person is obvious. In order to save ourselves, we must find out what type of disease we have so that we can cure it, and that is the first step." Commenting further, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "Secondly, simply being aware of our weakness is not sufficient. We must also recognize our strengths. The Islamic Revolution pursued a number of goals from the very beginning. We have attained some of these goals, and these are important, but other goals remain unattained. In some places, we have strengths. In other places, we have weaknesses. We must strengthen, preserve, and appreciate the strengths while attending to our weaknesses. The enemy has a policy that wants to make you forget your own strengths and not realize your own capabilities. This is a hostile policy, of course, that exists. Therefore, we need to recognize our own strengths. Turning to the Pahlavi regime, the leader said, "Perhaps our greatest achievement is the overthrow of an oppressive, unjust, irreligious, dependent, tyrannical system that was the monarchy. This isn't something small, it is the most significant accomplishment of the Islamic Revolution. The monarchical system, which was rooted in the country, was a system that didn't value or respect the people, nor did it involve them in the administration of the country. It didn't care about the people. When I was in exile in Balochistan province, even the governor of that province hadn't bothered to visit that relatively big city that I had been relocated to. In contrast, our current president visits remote areas, villages and small towns all around the country, and is present among the people. These two situations are very different. They didn't care about the people, and the people had no role in governing the country." Commenting further, the leader said, "Today, the younger generation have accomplished remarkable feats that are widely known and recognized, such as the achievements in the military sector that all of you have heard about. Yet, there are numerous other sectors that most people are unaware of, such as the industrial sector, peaceful nuclear technology, medical sciences and the pharmaceutical sector, as well as various other sectors where significant achievements have been made after the Islamic Revolution. Who has achieved these? Of course, young Iranians. They're the primary driving engine behind our progress. Added to this is self-belief in international confrontations. The Iranian nation no longer feels inadequate or inferior when confronted by the dominant world powers. It was not like this back then. In those days, political representatives selected by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, regardless of their personal issues, lacked the initiative to actively engage in political matters. Instead, they were only the subordinates of the governments of the global powers that were dominating them at the time, such as the United States, Britain, France, and various other countries. Therefore, creating a sense of self-belief, being self-confident in global confrontations, and promoting the ideas and values of the Islamic Revolution are also notable achievements of the revolution." In further comments, the leader said, "Another achievement of the Islamic Revolution is the halting of the spreading of Western culture as a superior culture. It was not like this before the revolution. Western culture was considered to be superior. While this mindset has not been entirely removed, significant progress has been made in the 4.5 decades since the victory of the Islamic Revolution. Another achievement is that national services are no longer confined solely to the capital city, Tehran. Before the Islamic Revolution, essential services and public amenities were primarily available in Tehran and few other big cities. However, today, that situation has changed drastically. Many services and amenities are readily available throughout the country, in villages, towns, and cities up and down the nation." In further comments, the leader said, "Another great achievement is the education and training of globally renowned scientists, surgeons, engineers, and outstanding nuclear scientists, which the Islamic Republic of Iran has been able to bring up. These are recognized and respected worldwide." turning to the responsibilities of government and the parliament de Majlis. The leader said, "What are the responsibilities of the government, the parliament Majlis and other official authorities? Determination, working with diligence and uprightness, being honest with the people, and prioritizing national interests over personal gains are the responsibilities of officials. Praise God, our high-ranking officials today possess these qualities, but it is essential for these positive traits to exist in all government and judicial branches." In further comments, the leader said, "The duty of the elite is to identify weaknesses, recognize the dangers, devise strategies to address them, and offer intellectual support to the government, the Islamic councils, and government officials. The elite have these duties. In a vibrant, thriving society, the elite must have a sense of duty, and these obligations they must fulfill. Young people also have a duty. The primary duty of young people, of course, is to build up the necessary characteristics within themselves in order to play roles in future matters. The youth can play a vital role. The youth should be prepared to participate in various fields and prepare themselves to bear heavy burdens of responsibility. They are the primary driving engine behind society. They need to prepare themselves in terms of various moral and scientific characteristics, etc., in order to assume an active role in propelling the country forward." The leader added, "The general public has also responsibilities, but their responsibilities are different. But one essential point to note is that officials, elite, young people, students, clerics, etc., must keep in mind that everything we're asking them to do is a form of jihad. But what does this jihad mean? Jihad is an effort that one takes against the enemy. This is the definition of jihad, and all of us must strive to accomplish our duties." Elsewhere in his comments, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "Our second duty is to look at the enemy. Looking at the enemy means we need to keep in mind that the enemy exists. The enemy is there, and we must not become neglectful of the enemy. The enemy is deceitful and cunning with various tricks up its sleeve. We should not assume that the enemy is weak and incapable." In further comments, the leader added, "An important factor to achieve victory is knowing the enemy and their capabilities. And this is an essential point." The leader concluded his remarks by wishing everyone God's blessing and success.
This is A to Z. An introduction into Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, you can either be an angel or you can be an animal. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It is such an honor to be here at your service, to your friends. We are talking about Islamic lifestyle, and one of the things that is really important in Islamic lifestyle is this idea that we can either become better than angels or we can become worse than the worst of animals. Now, this is something which, of course, many of us know. I very humbly put it in a different manner to make it a little bit interesting, and perhaps so that we fully understand a little bit about this aspect of a human being. Now, on one hand, you know, a human being
via self-effort and self-discipline and trying to attain perfection via knowledge and wisdom, perseverance, steadfastness in doing, you know, all the things that Allah has commanded us to do, and on the other hand, in refraining from doing all the things that Allah has prohibited us from doing, we attain certain levels of perfection in which we become better than angels, right? So, of course, angels, they don't have this kind of a voluntary kind of innate nature where they disobey Allah. They don't have that free will, if you will. They have intellect, they have understanding, they have questions. You know, they might not understand something, but never will they disobey the Almighty Allah. But a human being, they have these faculties, but they also have this faculty of free will in which if they choose to, they can unfortunately disobey Allah. But if we don't disobey Allah, and despite having that faculty, we end up becoming better than angels. Welcome back. This is A2Z on IRIB English Radio. So we're talking about you can either be an angel or you can be an animal. And in reality, you can either be better than angels, as we explained in the last segment, and that's where we finished off the last segment, was this idea that through attaining various levels of perfection, despite having the willpower to disobey Allah, the Almighty, if for some reason, God forbid, we wanted to do that, despite having that willpower, we end up attaining the levels of perfection, then a human being attains such levels of perfection where we see that the Holy Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him, in the Holy Quran, it is known as Qaba Qawsain, meaning the Holy Prophet became so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it was either one bow or bow or less, it was two bows or less than two bows or bows. It depends, you know, on what some people interpret it as. A bow meaning the bow and arrow, or a bow meaning the ruku, the bow, right? This is how close an individual gets. But on the other hand, it's also important to note that if we continue in our disobedience to the Almighty Allah, if we continue to commit sins, if we refrain from doing those things which are obligatory upon us, then we start to go farther and farther away from Allah. And this also has a negative impact upon our behavior, upon our thinking. And it's just like this endless circle which keeps on getting darker and darker and darker until eventually a human being can become worse than an animal when it comes to their behaviors, their actions, their ethics, their morality. God forbid that none of us ends up being in that kind of a situation where we become worse than animals. So yes, we can either be better than angels or we can be worse than animals. It all depends on how closely we stick to our Islamic lifestyle.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us.
واقعیت زندگی
and try to apply them to our daily lives.
چجوری ممکنه؟
How is it possible?
از راه قرآن
by means of Quran
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست
reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step brothers not the last one
هو الذی ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودين
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth that he may make it prevail over all religions though the polytheists should be averse
والذي ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد موسیقی خاصی دارد روش خاصی دارد اینها چیزایی لازم نیست
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones
اما این کافی نیست
But it's not enough
نقیم الدین ولا تتفرقوا فیه
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن دوری از قرآن از قرآن
Muslims major problem is losing touch with the Quran Quran
کتاب الله
Nearly 5 months into Israel's devastating onslaught on Gaza, amid a muted response from the self-proclaimed supporters of peace and human rights. The Israeli regime has technically launched a massive ethnic cleansing campaign in Gaza, while rendering the Palestinian territory uninhabitable. So far, more than 29,000 people most of them women and children, have been killed, and over 69,000 others injured in the Israeli strikes on the besieged coastal territory. Nearly 2 million people have also been displaced in Gaza as a result of the Israeli onslaught. The Israeli regime has destroyed hundreds of schools, including those run by the UN, in the besieged Palestinian enclave. According to the speaker for UNICEF, Jonathan Crick, there is absolutely no form of education or schooling in the Gaza Strip at the moment. There were approximately 625,000 school-aged children in the Gaza Strip. None of them are attending schools now. The level of violence and the ongoing hostilities, the intense bombing which is taking place, doesn't allow for education. According to the Palestinian education officials, at least 280 government schools and 65 UNRWA-run schools have been destroyed or damaged. Nearly 240 teachers have also lost their lives in Israeli strikes on Gaza. Also, more than 4,850 students have been killed and over 8,200 others have been injured as of February 6th. Alshema Akram Saidam was one of these students, a teenager who graduated from high school as the top-ranking Palestinian student of 2023 with a 99.6% average score. 2 months before the Israeli onslaught on Gaza, Saidam's home was filled with drums and loud ululations of women celebrating her achievement. Shaima had decided to study English translation at the Islamic University of Gaza before she was brutally killed, along with several members of her family, in an Israeli airstrike targeting a refugee camp in Gaza back in October. Since October 2023, more than 625,000 students and 22,500 teachers in Gaza have been denied access to schools due to the Israeli attacks.
I need to study in a new school. We used to play, study and have fun in it. But unfortunately, the school was destroyed. We had to flee to Deir al-Balah refugee camp.
My dream is to become a journalist. That was the future that I had been dreaming of since I was a little child. Secondly, we live in a UN schools. We cannot drink water like we used to because it is contaminated. There is no clean water. We live in a tent. The cold, the snow, and rain are killing us.
The Israeli military has even targeted the UN schools sheltering Palestinian refugees, killing defenseless civilians, most of them women and children. The Gaza Strip is home to 12 universities, almost all of them targeted by the Israeli military. Back in January, the Israeli military blew up the last standing university in Gaza, Al-Isra University. The Israeli military had used the building of the university as a base for the deadly operations against Palestinians in Gaza before destroying it. Israeli soldiers used hundreds of mines and filmed themselves leveling the educational institution to the ground. The viral video sparked online controversy, with many academics and university students around the globe calling for an academic boycott of Israel. In this video, a reporter grills a U.S. State Department spokesperson on the U.S. silence on Israeli atrocities in Gaza.
And if I don't know if you've seen the video, it's pretty widely available.
I have seen the video.
But it certainly looks, I mean, it looks like a controlled demolition. It looks like what we do here in this country when we're taking down an old hotel or a stadium. And you have nothing to say?
You have
nothing to say about this? To do that kind of an explosion, you need to be in there. You have to put the explosives down, and it takes a lot of planning and preparation to do. And if there was a threat from this particular facility, they wouldn't have been able to do it.
So I have seen the video. I can tell you that it is something we are raising with the governor of Israel, as we do often do when we when we see to ask questions and find out what the underlying situation is, as we often do when we see reports of this nature. But I'm not able to characterize the actual facts on the ground before hearing that response.
But yeah, but you saw the video.
I did see the video. I don't know what was under that building. I don't know what was inside.
But it doesn't matter what was under the building, because they obviously got in there to put the explosives down to do it in the way that they did.
Again, I'm glad you have factual certainty about it. I just don't.
I saw in the video.
I just don't.
And I think you guys
but
saw
I can
it too.
Say, we did see it. And I can say that we have raised it with
and
the government.
And it's not troubling to you?
Many observers are now saying that Israeli forces deliberately target universities and academics as part of a strategy to undermine Palestinian capacity to survive, resist, and continue as a people.
So let's talk about the assault on educational and cultural institutions. It's clearly by design. I mean, this is not accidental. What is it that Israel, why is it that Israel is determined to obliterate educational and cultural institutions. And there are many that I haven't mentioned, including Gaza's public library, Gaza's cultural center. Why are these important targets for the Israelis?
I think they want to wipe out everything that points to the Palestinian identity or Palestinian culture. It's like the propaganda says there were people with no land came to a land with no people.
The Israeli attacks on educational centers in Gaza comes against the backdrop of the fact that the top Palestinian academic figures have been deliberately targeted in Israeli attacks. Since October 7th, the Israeli military has killed at least 94 university professors in Gaza.
The Israeli attacks have killed 94 university professors. These include Professor Sufyan Taya, the president of the Islamic University of Gaza, an award-winning physicist and UNESCO chair of astronomy, astrophysics, and space sciences in Palestine, who died alongside his family in an airstrike. Dr. Ahmed Hamdi Abu Absa, dean of the software engineering department at the University of Palestine, reportedly shot dead by Israeli soldiers as he walked away, having been released from 3 days of enforced detention. Professor Mohammed Eid Shabir, professor of immunology and virology and former president of the Islamic University of Gaza. Professor Rafat Al-Arir, poet and professor of comparative literature and creative writing at the Islamic University of Gaza, who was killed along with members of his family.
Despite all Israeli restrictions, Palestine has one of the highest literacy rates in the world, with a literacy rate of 96.3% as of 2014. The literacy rate is even higher among males, with 98.4% being literate. The Gaza Strip has the highest literacy rate, with a literate population of 96.8% compared to 96% in the West Bank. Women have made significant progress in literacy over the past two decades, with the rate jumping from 78.6% in 1995 to 94.1% in 2014. The high literacy rate among Palestinians is a testament to their commitment to education, despite all the challenges they face.
They don't want the people to, you know, to educate themselves. They don't want education. They want to destroy schools, universities, because that's the only way the Palestinian has. We had no weapon. We had no future. So every Palestinian in Gaza, as I know, they will deprive themselves from food and they will send their kids to college. And it becomes a necessity, it's a must. Everybody send their kids to college. They have to. They don't let them, you know, just after high school and sit down. They force them or they ask them to go to college. And even the young kids are convinced that you build a future and you can get your country back by educating yourself.
2 years before the Israeli onslaught on Gaza, two journalists asked a number of children in Gaza about their dreams. They said they wanted to continue their education and build their country.
My dream is to become a doctor.
Why do you want to become a doctor?
To treat people.
Why to treat people?
Because of the war.
I want to become a pilot and travel and free Al-Quds.
I want to become an engineer.
Why?
Because whenever the Israeli occupation destroys our houses, I could rebuild them.
To build my country and let it prosper, to see my country under my hands develop into a beautiful place.
Over the past 8 years, Palestinians have demonstrated that Israeli aggression cannot extinguish their unwavering spirit and aspirations. Despite the immense challenges faced by the Palestinian people, their resilience remains unyielding. They've already shown that their dreams for freedom, justice, and self-determination cannot be destroyed by genocide or by occupation.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters all over the world listening to IRB English Radio. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I welcome you, brothers and sisters, dear listeners, among our brothers here, dear Ali Nasser, Hussein Ruhullah, and Hassan Nasrullah. Assalamu alaikum, and welcome everyone.
Wa alaikum assalam, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Ali Nasser, how is it going?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
All right. And Hassan?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
All right. So, everyone is fine. Hope you are doing well. Dear listeners, let's get started. Inshallah, today we will talk about Ayah 28, Surah Al-A'raf, page 153. Brothers and sisters, hold your Quran together, all together with Hassan Hussein Ali Nasser. Let's get started. First and foremost, let's listen to the recitation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وإذا فعلوا فاحشة قالوا وجدنا عليها آباءنا والله أمرنا بها قل إن الله لا يأمر بالفحشاء أتقولون على الله ما لا تعلمون.
Good recitation. We loved it. We enjoyed it. Did you?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, hope you've enjoyed it. Let's go and see what Allah Almighty says in Ayah 28th of Surah Al-A'raf, page 153. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَإِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً قَالُوا وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهَا آبَاءَنَا وَاللَّهُ أَمَرَنَا بِهَا قُلْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ أَتَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. So, one of our brothers is going to read right after I said the translation of this ayah. Okay?
Yes.
Yes.
وَإِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً. Allah Almighty says, those who don't believe, okay, in God. And it talks about the previous ayah. Look. إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا الشَّيَاطِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Those people who have no faith. Okay? They are these type of people. What type of people? وَإِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً.
Yes.
When they commit a sin.
Yeah.
They say, وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهَا آبَاءَنَا. We found our fathers practicing this.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about the Hajj pilgrimage. Like the pagans, okay? They were doing the, they were performing the Hajj, okay? Because of their culture. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Their forefathers were doing, going around the Kaaba, doing the tawaf.
Yes.
Circumambulating around the Kaaba, okay, without clothes.
Yes.
Like, their body was not completely covered, okay? All right?
Uh-huh, yes.
So, when we, this was a haram thing, okay, to do, based on Islam. وَإِذَا فَعَلُوا فَحَشَّةً. These non-believers, when they do this kind of sins, okay, when they are asked, why are you doing this? They will reply, what? Okay, وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهَا أَبَانَا. We found our fathers practicing it. So listen, sometimes of course, our forefathers have been doing a lot of things, okay? It doesn't mean because your forefathers were doing this, it's right. Sometimes it could be
wrong.
So you don't have to practice
the
same thing.
The same, yeah.
Okay? Look at what is the truth, what is correct. So there might be a lot of superstitions that our forefathers had been doing. So it doesn't mean we have to do them today. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Wallahu amarana biha. Oh, they say something worse than this. They say Allah has commanded us to do this. What? Did really Allah command you to do this? To go around the Kaaba while you're naked? God forbid. No way. Allah Almighty has never commanded you to do so. Okay? قُلْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَ. No. O Prophet, say to them, Allah never commands you to do what?
Bad.
What?
Bad.
Bad things. Okay? To do indecencies. أَتَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Do you attribute things to Allah what you don't know? Okay? All, without knowledge, you're relating this, okay, to Allah Almighty. Attributing this to Allah Almighty. This is haram thing. Okay?
Yes.
So, refer to the Tafasir books, inshallah, you will learn more about this. In the previous verses, we learned instead of attributing this to anybody else, a sin that we do, instead, what should we do?
Repent.
Yes. We should ask Allah Almighty to forgive us. Okay.
The door of Tawbah is always open.
Yeah, the door of Tawbah is always
open.
All right. Thank you so much for that nice sentence.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا القرآن.
Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
Ali Nasir or Hussein, Hassan, one of you, please read this. Who's ready?
Me.
Hassan, could you read this, please?
Yes.
Lesson, okay. We will practice the Tajweed rules. Step by step, read.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فإذا فعله فاحشة قالوا وجدنا عليها آباءنا والله أمرنا بها قل إن الله لا يأمر بالفحشاء أتقولون على الله ما لا تعلمون.
Thank you. Nice one. Good job. So, Hussein, you as well read. Step by step, we'll practice the tajwidals, okay? Like, make pauses between the words I say, okay? Read okay. From وَإِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً قَالُوا. Make a pause at the word بِهَا غِلَى. We'll explain. Hassan, get ready. I'll ask you some questions. Ali Nasir, get ready.
Yes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذا فعلوا فاحشة قالوا وجدنا عليها آباءنا والله أمرنا بها.
Wait, did he read correctly? Was there any mistake?
Yes.
What was the mistake?
The ikhfa.
Where was the ikhfa?
فاحشةً.
فاحشةً. You should hide the sound of tanween.
And you should stretch it.
Yeah, and stretch it.
Yeah.
You should stretch it more.
Right. There was a very clear mistake right in the beginning. Huh?
فَعَ.
No.
وَإِذَا.
إِذَا ذَال.
I didn't pronounce it
no,
correctly.
No, you said وَإِذَا. Yes?
Oh, yes.
That was very clear. Okay, fix them. Hurry up. Read it one more time. Hassan, check out if he makes any mistake.
All right.
وَإِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً قَالُوا وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهَا آبَاءَنَا وَاللَّهُ أَمَرَنَا بِهَا.
Was there any mistake, Hassan?
No.
No mistake. Ali Nasir?
No.
Thank you. That was good. Hassan, what does that qila say there?
Qila says that it's better to stop here, to make a pause, than continue.
Mm-hmm. What about that sila say?
Sila say that it's better to continue.
It's better to continue.
Yes. It's opposite of qila.
Opposite to qila. So yes. Qila says better to stop. Sila says better to
continue.
Continue. Both say one thing in common. Both share one thing in common, and that is they both
can stop.
Say that you can
stop.
Make a pause at any of their stations. Okay.
Yes.
So one point here. وَإِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً تَنْوِين plus قَاف.
Yep, ikhfa.
The rule ikhfa is applied, and that means you should
hide it. Sound of noon or tanween.
How do you do it, Ali Nasir? Yeah. The way Hussein did. Read it one more time.
Fahishatan qalu.
Make sure there is a heavy letter after it, yes?
Yes.
Okay. Hussein, continue, please. Wait. The word alayha and abaana, both of these words, they both have mad. But Hussein ignored the word alayha, the mad in the word alayha, but he pronounced abaana. What's the point? Hussein, please tell us, why did you do that?
The point is that in alayha, it's jaiz to stretch.
Ah, in the word alayha, the mad is jaiz mad.
Yes.
So you can stretch it or ignore it. That's why he chose to skip it.
Yeah, but in abaana, it's wajib.
In abaana, it is?
Wajib.
It is wajib. Okay, so how to understand the mad is wajib or jaiz?
When mad and hamza are in, both are in one word.
Yeah, better to say the mad. Okay, if the mad and the hamza that follows it,
yes,
if they are in the
same word,
in one word or in the same word, make sure the mad is
wajib.
You should extend like the word
aba.
Look at the mad, and right after the mad there is a hamza ana. So the hamza and the word, the mad, both are in the same word. Aba'ana. But in the word alayha, you see that alayha is one word. Okay, ha, the mad is in the word alayha. Actually, alayha, two words we have. Alayha.
Yeah.
Alaha, okay. So, and aba is another word. So the mad and the hamza, they are not in the same.
Yes.
Read. Wallahu. What about wallahu?
Yeah, heavily.
Heavily? How do you read? Why? How do you understand you should read it heavily?
Because we have fatha before the word Allah.
Got fatha before the word Allah. In case you have kasra or dhamma, what do you do?
When we have kasra, we should pronounce it lightly.
Lightly.
And we have when we have fatha and dhamma, we should pronounce it heavily.
Heavily. All right. Good job. Wallahu amarana biha. Read. Hussein.
Yes.
Continue.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Qul inna Allah la ya'muru bil fahsha.
Nice one. Qul inna Allah, again heavily. La ya'muru bil fahsha. So, in case a word ends with mad, alright, in case a word ends with mad, you don't have to extend it. You ignore it when you stop. Bil fahsha. Change it to two counts, okay? Two counts.
Yes.
Not bil fahsha. Not the sixth count. Alright. Read the next part.
أَتَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ.
Superb. I will recite. listen and repeat. That will be the last part of our class. Ready, guys?
Yes.
Brothers and sisters, please participate. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
وإذا فعلوا فاحشة قالوا وجدنا عليها آباءنا والله أمرنا بها
وإذا فعلوا فاحشة قالوا وجدنا عليها آباءنا والله أمرنا بها
قل إن الله لا يأمر بالفحشاء أتقولون على الله ما لا تعلمون
قل إن الله لا يأمر بالفحشاء أتقولون على الله ما لا تعلمون
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
أحسن ثم الله بلسي إن شاء الله. Thank you so much brothers and sisters for being with us. That's all from us for today. Stay with Arab English Radio. See you next session. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.